Columbia Workshop presents William Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. William Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. Well, that's slightly exaggerated. We are presenting Mr. Shakespeare's celebrated comedy, but in this modern version, especially adapted for radio, we've taken a lot of liberties with scenes, characters, and speech. We've added some original songs and lyrics in the best Broadway tradition, and from Broadway, to play Catherine the Shrew, we've also borrowed one of its finest dramatic stars, Nan Sunderland. Our story is still the tale of the maddest, rowdiest wooing in all literature, and how Petruchio brought about the taming of the shrew. But now it's curtain time, so let's have the orchestra. The story opens, as did Shakespeare's play, in a public place in Padua. Padua is just a small town in Italy. On a hot summer day, the sun burns down, the sky is blue, people are in the market square, and a pleasant laziness pervades the whole place. It presents quite a charming scene. For instance, there's Pedro, the happy blacksmith. He goes dizzily about his work. And right over there, the children play on the square. Running, laughing, and sometimes fighting among themselves, I suppose. And over in front of that little shop, the bookmaker is mending his shoes. And, of course, the traditional fountain plays in the sun. You see, it's all very much like a watercolor from a picture book come to life. It's pretty. It's picturesque. It's Padua. It's Italy.
An angry wench.
Mad, you mean?
That's Catherine.
Oh! I never heard of her. Who is she?
Listen, Catherine's the meanest, the vilest, the most unreasonable, the quickest-tempered wench in all of Italy. Confidentially, Catherine is a shrew.
Oh, that's Madeline!
She's married?
Married? Hmm. Oh, no one's good enough.
Yeah. You mean bad enough.
But old man Batista would like to marry her off. I guess that's what all the commotion was about.
What's the matter over there?
Here's the title of the series.
It's Catherine the Cursed. She's at it again.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad, Romeo. It's too bad.
I know. It's only too well, Hortensia.
You know, every time Catherine loses her temper, it means she's turned down some other man.
And every time she turns down a man, it means that we're so much farther away from being able to marry Bianca.
Mm-hmm. Senor Romeo, it touches us both to labor and affects one thing especially.
Oh, what's that, I pray?
To get Catherine a husband.
Oh, no. Even though her father's dowry amounts to real social security, thinkest thou that any man is so very a fool to be married to
them? No, it's still true. But they're small choice and rotten apples.
Hmm?
Rotten. Yeah.
Oh.
But after all, by helping Catherine to her husband, we set the younger free for one of us. And I hope it's me.
Uh-huh. I'm agreed. I'd give the best horse in Padua to the man who would thoroughly woo Catherine with her and bed her and rid the house of her.
Ooh. Does that sound familiar to you?
Of course it does. Who else would ride through Padua like that except that madman?
Of course! Petruchio!
Yeah.
Hello, Hortensio!
Hello!
Petruchio!
Hello. Oh, that's quiet. How are you, boys?
Petruchio, we're glad to see you.
How are you, Petruchio?
Just fine, right in the pink.
Oh.
Boys, it's good to see your shining face. And no one is more welcome than you, dear Petruchio. But what fate brings you to Padua? Fame and fortune, or only fortune?
Or even a wife if she comes with a fortune.
Oh, you wouldn't mean only if she comes with a fortune, would you, Patricia?
Money has its attractions, Gremio.
And a woman?
As attractive as the size of a dowry.
Oh.
Be she as foul as was Florentia's love, as old as Sybil, and as cursed and shrewd as Socrates Xantippe, I come to wive it wealthily in Padua. And if wealthily, then happily in Padua. What can you do about it?
Well, if you really want to know...
No, nothing. Couldn't do a thing. We're in a bad way ourselves.
Now, come, boys, out with it. Hmm? Hortensio, you were about to say something. Who is she?
Why, it's a cute little number.
Catherine.
Yes, it's Catherine. I never heard of her.
Never heard of Catherine?
No, never. What about her?
She has beautiful black hair.
And wonderful black eyes.
Hortensio, Gremio, please take me to her.
Now, just a minute. Can a meeting be arranged, Gremio?
Oh, it's possible, Hortensio. Possible. Perhaps.
It must be done. No, Say, my good pals... Why haven't you sought to wed this Catherine? You are gentlemen of taste and discrimination.
But not foolhardy.
A mere matter of temperament, Petruchio.
Whose temperament?
Catherine.
Yes. You see, Catherine has a temper, and she's something of a shrew, but...
A mere soupçon, of
course. Oh, yes. Temper, a bit of a shrew, stubborn wench. Is that all?
Is that enough?
Have I not in my time heard lions roar? Have I not heard great ordnance in the field and heaven's artillery thunder in the skies? And you warn me of a woman's tongue.
What a man.
Catherine shall be mine. I am Petruchio.
Of course.
I'll rule her.
Yes.
Winner.
Yes.
Wedder.
Yes.
And tamer.
I laugh. I sing. Why shouldn't I laugh and sing at spring? And all the world has a golden glow. Because it's so. Now I am happy, I dance. Dance I. Oh, my spirit is as high. Why do I cry aloud with mirth? Because I'm quite the happiest man. Now, now.
So the impetuous Petruchio met Catherine's father, Batista, who ardently welcomed this surprise suitor. Petruchio wasted few words in asking for Catherine's hand, and Batista wasted even less words in granting permission for Petruchio to wed his eldest daughter and arranging a very handsome dowry. After all the details are set, we find Petruchio anxiously awaiting his first meeting with Catherine.
I will attend her here and woo her with some spirit when she comes. Say that she rails. Why, then I'll tell her plain she sings as sweetly as a nightingale. Say that she frowns. I'll say she looks as clear as morning roses newly washed with dew. Oh, but here she comes, and now Petruchio speak. Good morrow, Kate. That's your name, I hear.
Well, you heard. Still you're hard of hearing. They call me Catherine, that is talk of me.
Then, gentle Catherine, hear me now. I move to woo you for my wife.
Well, you can move right out of here.
I am Petruchio Verona, a husband for you.
A husband? A devil.
I say a husband.
I say a devil.
Come, you waspish. If you're too angry.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
Oh. The world, she is a lusty wench. Oh, kindest Kate, who hangs about my neck and with kiss on kiss, protesting oath on oath, that in a twink has won me to her love.
Won me to your love. Oh, you buzzard.
You pretty thing.
A pretty peep. I'll put a finger in your eye.
What sobriety? I woo this wildcat. I'll charm her first to keep her tongue. Kate, 'twas told me you were rough and coy, but now I find report a very liar, for thou art exceedingly pleasant, slow in speech, sweet as springtime flowers.
Rail on, you fool. I'm not even listening.
Come closer that I may gaze into your lovely eyes. Don't move. For by this light whereby I see thy beauty, thy beauty did thus make me like thee well. Thou shalt be married to no man but me.
My lady is a saintly, on that I will affirm. And yet I sing a hymn to her. But oh, she smiles so quaintly, I grow as soft as fur. And so I sing a hymn to her.
Sing a hymn to her.
Yes, she is an angel. Sing hallelujah. And when I speak her name, I cannot help but purr. Oh, sir, a temper she has changed, but still it warms in her. My love-sick prayer to one so fair, my hymn to her.
Yes, she is an angel. Sing hallelujah. And when I speak her name, I cannot help but purr, oh,
the temper she has stained me, but still
serenaders from Verona.
Putting all this chat aside, thus in plain terms, your father has consented that you shall be my wife.
Your wife? I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth. There's my father. There's my father. A scream, a scold, I'll raise a storm!
Shut up! I'll wed you though you chide as loud as thunder when the clouds in autumn crack. You'll marry me and like it.
I'd sooner marry a puppet, an old trot without a tooth in his head. Why, you madcap ruffian!
I can endure your lot of alarms, because come Sunday you shall be my wife.
That's what you think, you one-half lunatic!
Oh, she loves me. Farewell, Kate the Cursed, my lovely Kate. I go now to Venice. Sunday comes apace. We will have rings and things and fine array. So kiss me, Kate. We will be married to Sunday.
I'll see you later.
Come Sunday, and Padua was treated to a wedding so nightmarish they still talk of it in the marketplace. Everybody was ready for the ceremony. Hours passed, but Petruchio was nowhere to be found.
It's my own shame to give my hand to a mad brain who wooed in haste and means to marry pleasure.
Catherine wept, Batista moaned, the guests shivered, and it looked like the wedding was off when suddenly
Petruchio is coming in a new hat and old jerkin. An old rusty sword with a broken hilt. An old horse possessed with the glanders, full of wind galls and swayed in the back. What a wedding outfit for a groom.
To me, she's married, not my clothes.
Now there's the church. Petruchio is raging and stamping. Put there now. He drinks the health and flings the tops and the sections beer. The ceremony is finally over. But Petruchio carries off the raging Catherine on his broken-down horse.
Of all mad matches, never was the like.
Get up. Get up, old friend, old charger. Take Petruchio and Catherine, his lovely bride, home. Sit up and hold tight to me, my Kate.
Your Kate. Your love, your bride. After a wedding like ours, you ought to be ashamed to call me a bride.
Perhaps you're right, Catherine. I shan't call you a bride then. And as for disparaging the wedding, well, after all, you are different from all other women. So if your wedding was a little out of the ordinary, well, that's only natural.
Only natural. It was a disgrace.
Oh, Kate, content thee. Be not angry.
None of your silly tattle, Petruchio. The way you were dressed. The way you kept me waiting at the church. The way you dragged me from our wedding supper.
Amusing, wasn't it? So unconventional, I thought.
Amusing. And now our honeymoon on a horse.
A honeymoon on a horse.
La, 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 la.
Stop that noise. It speaks like a rusty
la, 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 la.
You make my flesh creep. You even frighten the horse.
La, 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 la. Oh, moon, look
down upon me. She is so lovely, is she not, Moon?
More rubbish. Hold your tongue.
Shut up, and I'll compose a song.
How dare you?
Hush. Moon, are you listening? Behold the fairest thing in the 16th century. Here is beauty, here is wenchery. There she sits, my happy fate. Lovely, lovely, gentle Kate.
Meg sings better than you do.
Behold the rarest thing in the 16th century. I'm love thirsty, she's the quenchery. All my life I did await. Lovely, lovely, gentle Kate. She is a shrew, but who can blame her? She never knew the man to tame her, or lame her, or break her in two. Mack her and woo her, that will I do. Black her and blue her, that will I do. She is a comely lass, but she's not respectable. Maybe that's why she's delectable. Hail the conqueror and his mate. Hail Petruchio and Kate.
La 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 la.
What
can you think? Oh, yes, I composed a song for you.
Be careful, Kate.
Oh, Moon, are you listening? Behold the crazy clown of the 16th century. He thinks he is so adventury. He is better than the show. Husband mine, Petruchio.
What beautiful lies.
Behold a masterpiece of inhuman knavery. What a madman, so unsavory. Lower even than the low. Husband mine, Petruchio.
Hey, you remember you're my horse.
He is a fool, but who can blame him? A stubborn mule. Need one to tame him and shame him and break him in two. Smash him and thrash him, that will I do. Lap him and bat him, that will I do. He is a silly lad, but it's comprehensible. Where would he learn to be sensible? Who could have a milder foe than this fool?
That's so. Well, here you go, my proud and haughty Kate, into the mud.
Don't you dare.
But I do run up to your lovely neck,
stop,
Katie.
Stop it.
You'll be covered with wet brown mud.
No, no,
I hold you tightly about the waist and lift you up the horse so, and slowly dip you like I dunk a donut. Mud. Thick mud all over you. Your clothes are wet. Aren't you a sight? Oh, Kate, you look so funny.
Grumio! Master! What has happened?
Nothing, Grumio, my faithful servant. Just some sport between your mistress and me.
Well,
mud improves her. Don't you think so, Grumio?
Oh, yes, master. Greatly.
Ah, there's an observant fellow. Now, right ahead, Grumio, and prepare our house. Good food and drink and lovely warm clothes for Petruchio's bride.
At once, master.
Master will be here in a short while, and with him his bride.
The bride!
Bring us home the bride, Petruchio.
And so we just, and so we wish us to prepare for her.
Because we know we're positively going to care for her. Petruchio's bride, so sweet. We're on the game side, Petruchio. Because at last you have to come to a fair maiden's charms, and tonight you will hold her in your strong young arms, and we know she will back home, Petruchio. She will adore your loving soul, she won't say no, she'll be a blow, Petruchio.
Girl of notice that she's covered with mud. She's a lady, a gentle lady. Don't stand there, you blockhead. Off with my boots, you rogue. Where's my spaniel toilet? Where are my slippers? Where's food for my lovely bride?
Here's food for you and the mistress. So tender, so juicy, garnished with the rarest spices. In short, mighty tasty.
Mmm, it smells so good.
You call this mutton? This for your mistress? Burnt, dry, take it away! Where's the rascal cook?
Petruchio, it's not that bad. I'm so hungry.
I tell you, Kate, was burnt and dried. It'll make you choleric. Where are the new clothes for my Kate?
Ooh, la la, mimi. Here are the new clothes for your worship, you know, dear. Is this hat not just too divine? And this
velvet dish? Looks like a baby's cap or a wallet shell. Take it away!
Well, it was the rage at the Padua fashion show.
I like the cap, and I will have it or none.
Oh, you're positively right. It is a Zorah.
Shut up, you thimble!
It's lovely, and I like it.
It's the latest fashion, your worship, and made just as you want, Dad. Cut low in the back with a sweeping train.
What? Thou liest, thou thread!
Oh,
thou thimble!
Oh,
thou remnant! Oh. Away, nay!
Gentle women wear such gowns as these.
When you are gentle, you shall have one too. And not till then.
Oh, well, have it your way. I'm going to lie down here and get some sleep. I'm so exhausted, my every bone aches now. Oh, this is so soft and good.
Get up, Catherine. I say get up. It's drafty there. It's not good for you.
Kills a wife with kindness. I get no food, no hat, no gown. And he does it under name of perfect love.
Get up, Catherine!
I'm staying here. It's what? Comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
And I'm tired. Petruchio, please, you've denied me everything. Just let me stay here.
You say it's comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's like wood. Go sit by the window. Oh, how bright and goodly shines the moon.
The moon? The sun. Not moonlight now.
I say it is the moon that shines so bright.
I know it is the sun that shines so bright.
Now, by my mother's sun, and that's myself, it shall be moon or star or what I will. I'm ever more crossed and crossed, nothing but crossed.
Be it moon or sun or what you please, and if you please to call it a rush candle, henceforth I vow, it shall be so for me.
I say it is the moon.
I know it is the moon.
Nay, then you lie. It is the blessed sun.
Then God be blessed. It is the blessed sun. But sun it is not. When you say it is not. And the moon changes even as your mind. Even what you will have it named, even that it is. And so it shall be so for Catherine.
What? Wonderful. Ah, Kate, kiss me. I do love you, Kate. You are Petruchio's bride. Sweet Catherine, I think now our wedding feast has been too long delayed. We'll go back to Padua for a celebration befitting the wife of Petruchio.
Well, welcome back to Padua again, Petruchio, and congratulations.
Thank you, Hortensio, thank you.
Now, let me present your new brother-in-law.
You, Hortensio?
No, Lucentio here.
Lucentio?
Yes, well, Gremio and Hortensio were busily engaged in their friendly rivalry. I just stepped in and married Bianca.
Yes, they pulled a fast one, all right. I guess both our bachelor days are ended.
Hortensio, you too?
Oh, yes, sir. A widow, Petruchio. Not many children, but lots of money.
That's great, Hortensio. This is really an occasion for a party.
Well, I'll bet being married to Catherine is no party, eh, Petruchio?
But Catherine, my dear Hortensio, Catherine is quite changed.
Huh?
And what? If you insist, I suppose I shall have to prove it.
Yes.
A little bet, my friends, will settle this argument to everyone's satisfaction. Say, 100 crowns?
You're on.
That's fine, but how will you prove it?
Well, we each have a wife in the next room, within calling distance.
Huh?
Each of us, in turn, will call for her. The one who responds most obediently will have won for her husband. Simple?
Very good. Who goes first?
Well, Hortensio is married to a widow.
Don't remind me.
If her husband calls, well, she should know what to do.
Yes, of course, of course. No doubt she'll come on the run. I'll go first. Why?
Stop your shouting, Hortensio. I'm busy. And speak like a gentleman. This is no ballroom.
It's not bad. I mean, yes, dear. She's a little cranky tonight, I suppose.
Yes, some women are like that. Call Bianca, Lucentio.
Bianca! Madame says you are not to shout. It is bad for your throat.
Well, man, I take your time, Petruchio.
Yes. Catherine. Catherine.
Yes, Petruchio.
Go fetch Bianca and Hortensio's wife, too. Immediately, dear.
Oh, I never would have believed it.
I can't understand it.
Gentlemen, there's nothing to it. Marriage is simply a synonym for peace and love and obedience.
Hear the wise of Hortensio, Lucentio, dear husband.
Kate, tell these headstrong women what duty they owe their lords and husbands.
Such duty as the subject owes the prince. Even such a woman oweth to her husband. And when she is forward, peevish, sullen, sour, and not obedient to his honest will, what is she but a foul, contending rebel and a graceless traitor to her loving lord? I am ashamed that women are so simple to offer war where they should kneel for peace or seek for rule, supremacy, and sway when they are bound to serve, love, and obey. But I, for one, am always happy to make any sacrifice. It needs only Petruchio's word, and I shall do his bidding.
Why, there's a wench. Come and kiss me, Kate.
Ah, Petruchio, I love you.
And you are a good wife, Kate.
Come on, Bianca. Let's go home now.
One moment. I must say goodnight to Catherine.
Catherine, please. One word with you.
Yes, sister?
Catherine, did you mean what you said just then?
Bianca, only when a woman acts like a lamb can she pull the wool over her husband's eyes. Come, Petruchio, dear husband.
She is an angel. Sing hallelujah.
And when I speak his name, I cannot help but pray.
So the curtain rings down on the Columbia Workshop's musical presentation of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, starring Nan Sunderland as Catherine and Carlton Young as Petruchio. The role of Hortensio was played by Don Costello, Gremio by Carl Swenson, and Dean Carlton was narrator. The play was especially adapted for radio by Joseph Gottlieb, with songs and lyrics written by Irvin Graham and sung by Buddy Clark and Audrey Marsh. The orchestra and chorus were directed by Lynn Murray, with orchestrations by Van Cleve. And the production was under the direction of Phil Cohan. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.